Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to episode 77.5 of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, we have Ben Edwards on to talk about his Dead Zone League. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or you can go to youtube.com/c/deadzonethepodcast for the video version of the show. And now on to the episode.
And welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. My name's Jack.
I'm Rob.
And we have a special 0.5 edition here. Because we have a very special guest. And Rob, who's joined us this afternoon?
Joining us, all the way from jolly old England, is Ben Edwards. Ben, introduce yourself.
Well, you already have. My name is Ben Edwards. I've been into Fantasy Kings of War mostly, but recently got into Dead Zone. I think I've played about seven games maybe, ever. But did the... Started off by buying a load of models, then did all of the Battlescribe files, and now set up this league with a tournament at the end of it.
Yeah, so you started with Kings of War, and all of a sudden you ended up doing everything for Dead Zone. It's like you've jumped in headfirst into this pool. You didn't go half-assed.
No, I'd get bored very easily, so... If I'm not doing stuff, I would generally wander off. So with Kings of War, I go to a lot of tournaments. There's always a lot of activity. I don't think I do many things half-assed. After Dead Zone, I'll probably go on to Warpath Firefight and Warpath and try and do similar things there.
Nice. Well, yeah, we do appreciate the Battlescribe files you did. That's how you got in our radar at first. But since then, you've been crazy. You've started your own league, and you said you're doing a tournament at the end. Explain the league, because it's not just, hey, let's just have a league. You're pretty in depth with this thing. You've got it all organized up here.
Well, it started off as, hey, let's have a league. That was the very beginning. In the beginning, there was let's have a league, and that was Matt Ramsden at the Pit Gaming Shop, which is about 20 minutes away from where I live, and he also runs a gaming club on Tuesday nights with Matthew Mountain, if you know him. You should do. He's another Pathfinder like I am, and so it started with Matt Ramsden saying, could you organise a league for us? We want to try and kind of play some more Dead Zone, because there was a few players there that had played it, but they didn't get regular games in. And it was kind of getting pushed aside by other games that were coming up. So I agreed to do it. But as mentioned, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it properly. So it ended up as 14 players, 13 rounds. So that's everyone playing each other once. All factions. There was a last-minute change from Marauders to GCPS, which then got us all factions represented. It's got an escalation element, because whereas a lot of the players were quite seasoned veterans, there were a few, well, including me, so it may be considered selfish, that were beginners. And so I put an escalation element in it. Rounds 1 and 2, 100 points, 3 to 7, 150 points, 8 to 11, 200 points, round 12, 250 points, and then round 13, 300 points.
Nice.
Just because that was the biggest the rulebook mentioned. each round is 2 weeks, and it's quite informally organized. So, contrary to what you've said, is that rather than it being so, one of the things that I realized is that if people are told you've got to be here every Tuesday or every other Tuesday, people can't turn up for whatever reasons, games get missed, it all kind of falls apart a bit. So other than the first round, it's completely up to the players to organize their own games. So they know who they're playing next. They know the start date and end dates of every round, and they just have to organize their next game wherever they want, whenever they want, within those dates. And then I've given them editor access to the Pit Dead Zone League document that I've shared with you. And they then update their own scores.
That's actually kind of brilliant. That way, no one feels obligated, or the two people, two adults, get together. They make a time, they make a place, they do the game. It's not a chore at that point.
Yeah, and the 2 weeks per round allows, because there's that escalation element, and there's also, I've put in additional rules as we go through. So it starts with leader and troops, then specialists are added, then mercs are added, then vehicles are added. Round eight, there's the additional recon effects. Round nine, it's elite lists only. Round 10, there's benefits. So there's league points for having a merc. Round 11, league points for having a vehicle to make sure that everyone's playing with them. And then rounds 12 and 13, it's 16x8 table. But each of those is listed on that document as well. And so, yeah, it just kind of works. Well, it is so far. We're only on round three. It could all turn into crap later on.
I like the idea of making people use different things so that they don't just, somebody has a really good list, they don't just keep running that list the whole time. You can mix it up a bit and force people to get out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, well, it was, part of it was to try and get people to experience every part of Dead Zone by the end of the league. So something that I asked when I was first getting interested in the game was, oh, does anyone use elite lists? And everyone was like, either I've never heard of them, or, yeah, I know what they are, but I've never used it. So I wanted to make them all, and that was just on Dead Zone Fanatics. So as part of the league, I wanted everyone to use an elite list at least once.
Yeah. Well, it should be interesting, because some elite lists are a lot better than other elite lists. But I guess it matters what the player is, too. Because it looks like right now the Plague is the Plague player is the first in the league right now. His elite list is probably one of the weaker ones, so it should be interesting.
But then with the changes, you do get benefits and disadvantages on either side. So in the first two games, where it's leaders and troops only, Plague do really quite well because they've got the stage 1A, which is nigh invincible without specialists. So then that gives them a bit of an advantage against, you know, against the Enforcers or Forge Fathers, where their leaders aren't as strong as the stage 1A. And they don't have the tough and other things that keep them alive. Kind of size 4, etc.
They do get Pathfinders, though. Pathfinders are pretty tough.
Mm.
And I'm amazed the Asterians, I'm looking at the list here and seeing all the stats so far. The Asterians have 0 points. I would have thought with the, once again, the Khaleesi. Those guys are pretty tough for troops.
Matt Manson just decided that he's on holiday. It's very, very selfish of him.
He just hasn't got a chance to play yet, I see.
No, Tony Strongman and Matt Mountain haven't played yet. And I think my round two is against Matt. And I think ours might go past the end of round two. But as soon as I get to have a game with him, that'll be filled in. And to be fair, Tony decided he was ill in the first round as well. Again, very selfish.
Yeah, what's with these people? They should be getting in their deathbed just to play these games. I don't understand.
Absolutely. That was my attitude. But I put the holiday person and the ill person together. So
that works out.
In terms of the kind of the other thoughts going into the league was that each of the things that we'll go on to, so the different types of prizes and kind of the way that it's been set up, it's all been based around trying to keep, well, five stakeholders. I'm a project manager, so I'll always think of things in stakeholders. Five stakeholders happy. So first of all, players, obviously that's the most important thing. If the players aren't having fun, there's absolutely no point in having anything. The next was sponsors, because as I think you mentioned in your last podcast, there's quite a few sponsors to this now. So making sure that they're all happy, and kind of, I'll go in, if you want me to later on, I can go into how I've done that, because all of them are happy so far. The Pit Game Shop,
yeah, for sure,
who asked me to do it. The Dead Zone community, I think it's always important to try and get community involvement, which can be hard, obviously, when it's an event, a group of players, particularly tournaments, because, you know, it's one day, you know, no one's going to watch a day's worth of tournament. But League, I think you can get a bit more involvement from the community. And the last one, but not so much, is Mantic Games, the company as well. So a lot of the sponsorship, for example, is scenery. So if I started saying you should buy this MDF scenery instead of Mantic Games' plastic scenery, they may not be too chuffed with a Pathfinder.
Right. Yes, yeah. For sure.
But yeah, Mantic should always be last on the list. I agree with that.
It's more pushing the game without kind of sidelining Mantic stuff for that game, because I think the Battle Zone stuff is obviously fantastic. I've got kind of way too much of it now, if there is such a thing.
But it's right. It's the players, and you're going to be buying the game from them anyways. So it's the players that, and like you say, where you're playing is the most important, probably.
Yeah, yeah. And there's already a number of orders gone into the Pit Gaming Shop to buy various vehicles and troops and bits and bobs. I've just picked up an order of elite leaders so that people can do their elite lists.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, I'm sure everybody will be happy with that. The Mantic will be happy that the store is ordering stuff, and it's just the showing how well you can do a league is showing other people that they can do it also, and hopefully it'll expand to different stores and keep doing it like that.
Yeah, well, the Mantic Games as well, they're doing, have you seen that they've started doing Mantic Open Days, like on the road Open Days? So they did one in Rochester in the southeast of England, and it is a Mantic Open Day, but just at a gaming store, and they're doing that for the Pit Gaming Shop on the 27th of January, I think it is, 26th, 27th of January next year. So, I mean, Mantic do know the company, and they're very supportive of them, because the Pit Gaming Shop has been very supportive of Mantic Games. Matt Mountain has been doing a lot for them in the past, and still is. So, yeah, there's a good relationship there.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's something that the US and North America in general so far, it's had more issue, since it is such a big place and it is so far away from the HQ that that kind of support isn't as much here. Like that, they don't have Mantic Open Days over here yet, but hopefully that'll expand this side of the ocean too, because that's something that will expand the hobby no matter what. Because that's, I think, the number one thing, especially with Dead Zone, is that people say, well, nobody's playing it at my store kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But this is the way to do it. Like that's how you get people to play, is to have Open Days and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. And to be fair, I think, it's only been one in Britain so far, so it's not as though it's a common phenomenon. But I think actually over in the US and Canada, it might actually be a little more successful than it would be here. I mean, the British market, I don't know whether you've looked at the British gaming market, but it is pretty dominated by Games Workshop to a level that isn't seen in America. You have large independent gaming stores, which we just don't have here. I was shocked that the one in Rochester was as big as it is. Gaming stores that are not Games Workshop gaming stores are usually very, very small with very little playing area in them.
Yeah, yeah, it's the opposite here, where they don't have GW stores, so it's everybody independent is the way to go here. And hopefully most of them do have usually a gaming area, the ones I've been to. So,
yeah.
But yeah, we don't have that same presence, that's for sure. I remember going to England and every other corner there's a GW store. Yes. And it's like, wow, that's pretty crazy.
Which then shuts out independents from the market, which then, because the independent stores can't grow as much, if you do an open day there, you're going to get, you know, three or four tables in and it'll all be a little cramped. Whereas Rochester was really quite big. I was surprised at how big it was. And we could spread out a bit. We had a game of Kings of War going on. I was doing Dead Zone demos all day. Matt Mountain and I think Andy were doing the Walking Dead demos. We had all of the... So at open days, you obviously get the opportunity to buy loads of rare and unsold minis that from days gone by. And all of those were out, kind of being sold. Ronnie the Bard was on the table. New one coming with Vanguard. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, and that's we'd love to see that kind of thing over here. We get the Mantic Open Night at Adepticon, but it's not quite the same. It's more just a meet and greet kind of thing with the people. But it'd be nice to have that actual game area and play some games and play some demos and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. You should get onto Mantic, get him to do it.
Well, suppose the community Pat's working on it, but we'll see. He's a busy guy, so. So let's talk about the league a bit more. And yeah, you're explaining you have all those rounds. It's very interesting for that. And then at the end, you said you're going to have a tournament or something?
Yeah, yeah. So we've got the Pit Dead Zone League, which is this six-month behemoth of a league. And then at the end, I think I've put it as the 22nd of May. I've just put a date. Was it the 22nd? It's in the middle of May sometime in 2018, because that's a few weeks after the league finishes, like the last round of the league is over, and league players will get tickets available 1 week before general release to encourage them to come, but it will be open to anybody. If you want to fly over, feel free, and that is open to everybody. League players, their placement in the tournament will give them bonus league points, so there isn't an incentive for them to come along. But it being open to all, it will be run as a separate tournament in itself. So the GameMap.eu resin scenery that you shared an image of before, half of that will be league prize, half of that will be tournament prize. And the same is the case for the War Games tournament stuff. I'm thinking if there's enough of it, because I've not actually seen what Tiny Worlds have sent. But I'm thinking to do something similar to them. But then again, we will still have because it'll be £10 or £15 for the league. That will also generate some money to pay for some more prizes. And the tournament will also have 24 karat gold plated gold, silver and bronze dog tags.
Yeah, we showed off those dog tags last time. That is such a good idea. Those look so cool. And yeah. I'm sure you heard us making fun of Coach having them, but
yeah,
it's such a good idea. Like I think it's way better than a statue.
And yeah, so there'll be one set of them for the league and one set of them for the tournament. So if Coach wants to come over and attempt to get some 24 karat gold plated dog tags, he can actually win some if he wants.
Yeah, I'm sure if he could, he would be there in a second. Well, you'll have to encourage him to show up at every tournament, because he's a competitive guy. I was talking to him today. He's already making lists for Adepticon, so
yeah,
he's preparing.
Yeah, so that's kind of in the runnings. It is only a kind of put in the calendar date at the moment. We've still not actually secured the location, so it will be at the Welland Activity Centre, where there was a fairly successful Dead Zone tournament a few months back, but we've not actually booked it yet, so it may change.
Well, if you get all the people that you're in your league right now, you've got 14 people in the league plus extras. That'd be quite a large tournament. That'll be one of the bigger ones.
Yeah, yeah. I'm hoping so. I'm expecting maybe 18, but it could be bigger, because I'm expecting some of the people in the league won't be able to make it for whatever reason, at which point, you know, number goes down a bit, but at least 4, 6, 8 people maybe will travel down across the UK.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Yeah, you're doing so much. It seems like, especially for someone who just started, like it was this year, right? Like you started Dead Zone?
Yeah, yeah. this may have even been this summer.
You're actually like one of the leading people in the Dead Zone world getting things done. So it's nice to see. And we've always said that people, if they want to get it done, do it themselves. And you're proof that it's possible, because you just started it up and it looks really successful so far.
Well, after getting interested in the game, it just seemed as though it needed a bit more life. Kings of War is got a very vibrant scene. Kind of Kings of War fanatics on Facebook has got constant new threads on there of different people asking different things, pictures of tournaments, loads of tournaments, obviously, throughout the year. Dead Zone just didn't seem to have that, so putting effort into boosting that kind of seemed worth the effort.
Yeah, for sure. And it's you're a shining example for everybody else. That's all I'm saying. Like, and hopefully, if somebody else wants to do it, they can contact you and find out how to do it, because you're doing it perfectly, I think, so far.
We'll take a short break right here, and we'll be right back with more from Ben.
Hey, this is Ben Edwards. Organise the Dead Zone League and Dead Zone tournament. GameMap.eu, as mentioned in a previous Dead Zone, the podcast, GameMap.eu have offered 5% discount to all Dead Zone, the podcast listeners, The code is Dead Zone, just Dead Zone. It's still valid, until the end of November. They do pre-painted resin terrain, which you'll see in a load of pictures on Dead Zone Fanatics. High quality mouse pad mats, fantasy and sci-fi, and 6x4 gaming tables. Go buy it. So, as well as the gold, silver, and bronze dog tags, which, to be fair, I actually thought it'd be a good idea to do that, because if that catches on with other tournaments, you'll basically be able to, like, if you come first, second, and then another second in various tournaments, you can show what you've done very easily, because you can just wear your dog tags to every other tournament. So that, I thought, would be fun if it caught on a little, as, like, a bit of a thing for the Dead Zone scene. As well as the ranking prizes, there's supporter prizes, there's community prizes, and there's spot prizes, all in the league. So this is just talking league. So supporter prizes, and I did this because it's basically it's fun and it's good for the community. So, you know, people follow their football teams. You know, why wouldn't they follow a Dead Zone player in a Dead Zone league? That was the kind of kernel of the idea. So I created a Facebook player page for each league player, added the player as an admin, and I'm providing a prize. So as well as the gold, silver, and bronze dog tags for first, second, and third, the person with the highest supporter score will get a prize as well. That's going to be the other. So there's going to be four like big end prizes. The supporter score is calculated as 1 point per like on their page. So it's 1 point for every person that likes the page, and it's plus 2 points. So that person is worth 3 points if they're a member of Dead Zone Fanatics. There's 155 likes so far, and I'm encouraging the players with small prizes. So at the end of round two, which is, well, tonight, the person with the highest supporter score is going to get, I think it was some Anvil Industry holographic scopes. So to try and get the players to be out there on Dead Zone Fanatics showing their stuff and trying to get more supporters, I'm providing small prizes to them to do that.
Yeah, it's great. You got to give us the links for all those all the different players, because I've seen some of them on there, but I've liked some of them, but I haven't seen them all yet. So you got to get all the links out so people can find their favorite faction and favorite player.
Yeah. So in general, it's the player name dash the faction. So Matt Ramsden, Vermin, Tony Strongman, Enforcers, Shane Watts, Enforcers, Mike Morris, Enforcers, Richard Gill, the Plague, James Ramsden, the Plague. James Ramsden is Matt Ramsden's son. Aaron Neuville, the Plague, Tim Merrill, GCPS, Robert Roland Wilds, Marauders, Reese Walker, Rebs, Matt Mountain, Asterians, and then there's Colin Jackson, Niall O'Grady, and me as Forge Fathers. Mike Morris doesn't have a Facebook page because he doesn't have Facebook, which makes it a little more difficult.
But perfectly acceptable. There's no reason to pressure anyone into social media. No.
It makes integration with the league a little harder because you can't win the supporter prize. And also when I'm, because there's a Facebook chat with everybody in the league but him. So I have to pass any information to him through Matt Ramsden at the shop. So it becomes a little more difficult because I can't, because I will announce a spot prize, and I'll come on to what they are, on Facebook, which then he doesn't see. Things like that. So it does add some logistical difficulties. Yeah, so there's the ranking prizes, the supporter prizes, community prizes. Now, this is something that you seem to like the idea of. So this was because, well, first of all, it's good for the game to have more of the community involved. And as I said earlier, the part of this was because I thought the Dead Zone kind of atmosphere would look good with a bit more life to it. So community prizes were all about encouraging the community to get involved, and it also benefits the sponsors. So it was a good link. So community prizes, there's two sponsors, Frontier Wargaming and Sarissa Precision, that both do MDF terrain, and they come in nice packs, so nice and flat, nice and easy to post out. but still, when assembled, look awesome in Dead Zone as kind of terrain in their own right, or just kind of bits of scenery among other stuff. So they're both... I've still not received the packages from them. Sarissa Precision, I believe, sent out a package on Tuesday or Wednesday. So that should be with me pretty soon. Frontier Wargaming haven't sent it out yet. Hopefully I get it so that I can announce the first one on Monday, which I think is when this is coming out. So in various rounds, ideally I would do it in every round, but I need to see how much I've got to give. In various rounds, for the person who guesses the most correct game outcomes, so all Dead Zone Fanatics members, all you have to do is post predictions under the comment. So when I announce kind of this is going to be the prize, put your predictions underneath, kind of community prize. Every person tries to predict the games underneath, seven games, what the outcomes will be, whether it will be win or a draw, and who will win. And then after that round is finished, after those 2 weeks of games have done, I'll check who's got the most correct guesses. Then I'll do a personal message to them, find out their address, and send out a prize to them.
Yeah, that's so cool, I think.
So you've started a fan element, but you've also then added a bit of a not gambling, but a little bit of a chance element as well. You're starting to get to some fan interaction and some people, something outside of just, say, a tournament, something that a tournament lacks when people come from all different areas and just get together. That's building a community, and that's really interesting.
It's what I'm trying to do. How successful it is will be found out in a few months' time. Hopefully people get involved. Hopefully people, you know, maybe when the first few community prizes get sent and people post on going, look, I've just received this kind of wonderful bit of Frontier Wargaming terrain for free through the post because I got involved in the league. Hopefully that starts to encourage people to get involved, to support the players. And then the more involved the community is, not only is it more fun for the community, but the sponsors are happier because they get more views of their stuff. The community's happy because it gets to view more stuff from various sponsors. I mean, all these sponsors, I've made sure that I've picked sponsors that I believe will be good for the community. So it's not just sponsors trying to hawk their wares. It's good for the community to see what these people that they might not have seen before, what they have to improve their Dead Zone game.
Yeah, for sure. That's that. Once we ask for reviews for the same idea, it's like you want to expand. I think a game to be successful has to be expand past the company that's making it. So like all these secondary companies, once they start making specific Dead Zone terrain, which some of them actually do, it's really interesting to get the word out about them, and then they get more popular, and then the game gets words out from their sites as well as Mantic's site, and it's just the game expands that way, and that's the way to do it, I think, is to get all these people involved.
Yeah, yeah. And the final one was spot prizes. So these are just kind of literally on-the-spot prizes. I will be at work, and I'll think, oh, wouldn't it be awesome if I challenged some players to do X, and then I give them something little for it at the end of that round. So random things. So for the first one, in the first round, it was, for example, the player who killed the highest points value, so not victory points, the actual points value of their opponent's strike team, was going to win 10 resin muzzle flashes from Anvil Industry. So I posted that out to everybody. They all had the games except for obviously Matt Mountain and Tony Strongman, who haven't played yet. But they would have found it difficult to beat beat Nouvel, who actually won the prize, Aaron Nouvel, because he killed his opponent's entire strike force. It was gone. There was no strike force. It was 100 points. Well, 99 or 98 or something. So I just awarded him the resin muzzle flashes on the spot. And to be fair, as a bit of a consolation, because I wasn't expecting a complete rout of any of the players, I then awarded Tim Merrill, his unlucky opponent, some resin sights so that his troops will start shooting better.
Well, it is the GCPS regular troops aren't great. It's for them, it's a specialist that really shines, so I could see them getting beat up pretty bad in the first couple rounds.
He was playing Marauders in his first round. He actually hadn't received his GCPS yet. So he said, you know, can I still just play Marauders first round? And because obviously Marauders and GCPS in Warpath are part of the same thing, I went, yeah, go on. It works with the fluff. Go for it.
And the Marauders also, it's just really commandos. So, yeah, you're going to get beat up pretty bad. Once again, it's the specialists that really work for them, too.
So, yeah, he's already put those sites on his GCPS troops and posted it on his player page, and I've shared it to Dead Zone Fanatics, so you can have a look, because it's absolutely amazing. Like, I'll go through the sponsors in a sec if you want, but I've been really impressed with the Anvil Industry stuff.
Yeah, that's it. We would never have known about these smaller companies with that kind of stuff. We never thought of scopes and muzzle flashes and stuff. So already that's successful because we would never have even thought of that. You think of of alternative models or head swaps and stuff like that, and obviously bases and mats, but just the little accoutrements, that's where it gets interesting.
Yeah. Well, I've gone basically anything that I've seen online that I think, oh, that'd be good for Dead Zone. I've put them in that, in the sponsors document. And then again, you know, put who, if I can find a name for a person, because it's obviously better when you're trying to ask for things to ask by first names, their information, what country they're in, so that you understand whether they may expect you to pay for postage and all of that. As soon as I see anything, I go, oh, I'll stick them on there. And then, so there's a couple at the bottom that I think could actually be really good for sponsorship that I've not asked yet, because I found them since I had already got enough sponsors for this, because I don't want to take on any additional sponsors now, because it will dilute what the current sponsors, the benefit that they'll receive. So I'm being a bit careful on that in that respect. But it means that there's ones at the bottom that haven't been contacted that kind of Andy Sharp could look at, because I found, even though I've found them.
Yeah, you're sharing this list with other people doing their tournaments and leagues to, like you said, I don't think we said on the podcast that you want to make sure that each place doesn't get just bombarded with people asking for stuff. So you want to share the wealth, but not over ask, so that they get sick of hearing from Dead Zone people.
Yeah. So I forgot that it wasn't recorded. So just a quick overview for the recording. So there's a document with all of the sponsors that I've found that might be good for Dead Zone. All of the information about them, how to contact them, what the names are, what country they're in. And then you type in when they've been last contacted. So when I've sent them an email, I type in the date there. And then through formulas and conditional formatting, I've put it as a 60-day cooldown time. So the bar, the column that they're on, the row that they're on goes red when you're not meant to contact them, because they've been contacted within the last 60 days. And then as it comes up to being okay, they turn amber. And then when they go green, it's okay to contact them again, so that it's at least giving them 60 days since the last contact. And also then I've put whether they pledged or not, so whether they sponsored or not, and what they sponsored, again, to give other people organising a feel for what type of stuff they're happy to give. Some companies only want to give kind of two pieces of terrain. Some, like GameMap.eu, have been fantastic in providing a whole industrial set, which is kind of incredible terrain. I bought an industrial set for myself as well. And War Games Tournaments, who provided, or will be providing, they're currently building it still. They're currently making it. The Slot and Stack Industrial Terrain Set, which is massive. It covers a 3-foot by 3-foot table, as well as Junk Town Extras. So we're going to build up and paint an entire table of their terrain.
Nice. And hopefully it'll let us at least get the names of these companies and their websites, so that we can put it up on the thing, so that other people want us to support them and go buy stuff from these people, because it's pretty much a vetted list of great stuff for Dead Zone now. We can put that up so people can go support them on their own too.
Yeah, absolutely. Go through that list. And I've also, in that document, there's one column that says what would be of interest to Dead Zone players. So if there's kind of 15 different types of terrain, I've identified kind of terrain, I don't know, the second terrain and the fifth terrain out of that 15 is good for Dead Zone. And I've typed that in there so players can click on the website, look at that document and see what they should be looking for.
Yeah, true. If I want some terrain, go to this place, or I want a mat, go to this place, or bases and stuff. Yeah, that's you're doing a lot of work for all the people buying stuff too, not just trying to create a tournament. But this is a great list just if you're looking for stuff to spice up your Dead Zone, either your tables or your actual figures. This is a great vetted list, like I said.
Yeah. The sponsors themselves, as I said before, they're all the sponsors of the tournament. I've been pretty selective over. From that document, and I've already said no to and someone who came late because I didn't want to kind of do down the benefit that these sponsors are going to get. So there's GameMat.eu, which they were the earliest one. So that was that kind of came about just because I was talking to Matus and about buying my own stuff from him because I think it's that good. And even though the postage can be a bit expensive, for what you get, unfortunately, his website doesn't show scale that well, but what you get is massive. It's absolutely fantastic. Even the Gothic ruins that kind of aren't obviously that good for Dead Zone, but they're a good foot high, these kind of Gothic ruins. It's absolutely insane. So they do kind of pre-painted resin, which is what we've got, high quality mouse pad mats, and then 6x4 gaming tables as well. So fold up 6x4 tables. We're using them throughout the league. So you should have seen on the Dead Zone Fanatics page, a lot of the tables have got their stuff on it. So it's good for the players because they get to play with some interesting new bits. It kind of livens up a table when you've got some interesting bits on there that aren't just squares and battle zones terrain. And then, as I said, they're going to all be given away as prizes, half in the league and half in the tournament.
Yeah, it is much more interesting. I know, Jack, when we got some of those cool mats and it's cool terrain, it changes the game totally.
Oh, for sure. And it's nice. It just mixes stuff up. And especially once we went to Adepticon, sometimes you go to tournaments and sometimes the scenery they have is, you know, adequate. But if someone goes above and beyond and adds a little bit, that extra touch while you're, say, in a league or something like that, then it adds a little something. It shows that someone actually put some thought anyways.
Yeah. GameMat.eu works really well when it's with Battlezone stuff. I tried a few games of it just on its own, but because you can't go inside any of it, it does change Dead Zone a little too much. But it works, as from all the pictures, go check them out on Dead Zone Fanatics. It works really, really well when you stick it in with some other stuff. War Games Tournaments, and they do MDF scenery and terrain. And I can't remember what game you mentioned it was for, but they've basically got an entire set of scenery that is based around 3-inch cubes. But it's not Dead Zone. It's a different game. Maybe you two know what other games have sci-fi 3-inch cubes.
There are none.
That's yeah, it. I don't think so. Dust is sort of close, but it's not quite. But there's other games that it may not be just the 3-inch cubes. Like a lot of them make it for Infinity. I think that's the number one game most of the stuff that works for Dead Zone comes from. But because they it's more squad based. It's unlike 40K where it's bigger and you don't go into buildings as much. Whereas Infinity, it's much closer in the way that the game works. So that's probably what it's for, is Infinity, I would think.
I don't believe it was Infinity. I would have remembered that because I know Infinity.
Yeah.
But anyway, they've produced this whole set of 3-inch cube terrain with walkways and kind of ladders and all of this stuff. It's wargamestournaments.co.uk, I think, is the website. And it looks fantastic. And they're sending us an entire table's worth of stuff. So my agreement to them, whereas with GameMat.eu, it was just pictures of their stuff being used in games with Battlezone stuff. War Games Tournaments, I've agreed that at least one game per round is going to be entirely their stuff. So it shows an entirely different style of Dead Zone terrain, which I think is good for players. Because I saw what put me onto them was seeing one picture on Dead Zone Fanatics of someone using their stuff in a game. I don't know who it was. I think it was someone in America, to be honest. And it looked incredible.
Yeah, we've seen some tables from various people where it's like, where is that from? And you want to know instantly where they got it so that you can look it up yourself. But I was just looking at that War Games Tournament's terrain. It is very cool looking, especially if you paint it up real nice.
Yeah. So Matt Mountain doesn't know it yet, but I'm maybe drafting him into helping me paint it all. I forgot to ask him. I'm just hoping he says yes. Thank you, Matt. But then the other thing that I really liked about War Games tournaments is it's not just the slot and stack industrial terrain. They also do something called Junk Town. Now, the one thing that's got me about Battle Zones is obviously you can paint it differently, and there's the ruined stuff, the industrial stuff, and then the stand, kind of the more military stuff with the corner pieces that kind of jut out, a bit more armoured. Junk Town is the only Dead Zone scenery that I've seen that looks really good as Rebs-type terrain. I can't imagine how the Battle Zone stuff fits with Rebs as well, kind of maybe the rundown stuff. But Junk Town is quite literally that. Junk Town, it's like half a sewer with rags hanging off stuff. So, you know, the Rebs Strider has like a rag hanging off it. It's right. Pieces of terrain with stuff like that that looks really good. So adding different styles into Dead Zone terrain would be good as really good as well.
Yeah, I was looking at this Junk Town outer wall and stuff. It looks like just a makeshift like fort. But even some of the walls, they have like, it looks very like the Battle Zones, where it's just a different, slightly different style, but it's got the fans on the side and very cool. Like, yeah, this stuff is really neat.
Yeah.
So you blend the Battle Zone stuff, this war game tournament stuff, all this, and it really makes it look nice and gives you their players something different to play on. That's, and maybe broadens some horizons, maybe changes the way people play sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's, well, we've got Frontier Wargaming and Sarita Precision that do terrain as well, but they're going to be used for community prizes. So you won't see pictures of those. I'll put up pictures of the packs themselves, obviously, when the community prize gets awarded. But Frontier Wargaming, Sarita Precision, again, they do other styles. Sarita Precision does seem to be a little more focused around Infinity. That's where that's come from, I think.
Yeah, we have some of the Sarita stuff that we've had for review, and it is very nice, but it is definitely more Infinity-based.
But again, different style, different look, and maybe a different gaming style from that as well. In terms of non-terrain stuff, we've got Tiny Worlds Wargaming, which is, that's your standard kind of a bit of hobby everything shop. So there's paints, brushes, resin bases, base toppers, scenery, terrain. And they do quite a lot of the resin in-house, I believe. So it's resin bases, resin base toppers, resin, scenery, and terrain. So they've sent over some tank traps and obstacles. I've not seen them yet. I know which ones they are online, and they look really good. And they'll probably be included in the final prizes. I might use them as a fairly big spot prize or a supporter prize to encourage either of those. And then the one that I'd love to go on to, Anvil Industry. Now, these I've been amazed at. The quality of the resin that they do is incredible. So they've got their own sci-fi game, which is Afterlife. And I believe it won the most original game at Crisis 2017. So they've got pedigree in terms of the game. And all of their miniatures are highly modular. You buy legs, you buy arms, you buy a left arm, a right arm, a gun, a scope, a backpack. You buy them all separately. You can buy a pack with all of them in. But the general feel is that you buy a head separate to the body, separate to the leg, and they're all £1, £1.50. And then you build your dude out of all of the bits that you want, which obviously works perfectly if you want to add bits to your Dead Zone miniatures. So I bought a bunch of, they gave me a voucher basically, so I got a bunch of free stuff from them. And I bought, I didn't buy any weapons in the end. I did buy some rocket launchers that might look good on a walker. I bought a bunch of different types of scopes. They've got sniper scopes, holographic scopes, they've got kind of, I think there was some night vision scope or something. They've got backpacks. So I've got a backpack with mechanical arms coming out the back of it. It's kind of five or six different mechanical arms that you can choose from sticking out the backpack. You can buy capes. I've got some thick shoulder pads and thin shoulder pads. The muzzle flashes, which have already been seen on Dead Zone Fanatics. But if you go and look at Tim Merrill, GCPS player's pictures, he's already put those scopes on his GCPS miniatures, and they look perfect. They look as though they're kind of meant to be on there, and it just works.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, adding those kind of bits, that's the next level for this game, I think, is right now a lot of people are playing it pretty straight, but we're seeing slowly but surely, we're seeing a lot of conversions and modifications on stuff, and I think that's great to see. Make your miniatures your own.
Yeah, yeah, and they've also got heavy weapons, so kind of even the mortar, for example, that they do, and I've got one of those as well, that'll be some price somewhere. The mortar, you buy the legs separately to the top of it so that you can have a mortar on tracks or a mortar on three legs or a mortar on a weird hybrid of both. And then you buy the top of the mortar, which you choose which shield you want on the front of it. So there's one fairly plain sci-fi shield. There's one more traditional kind of now human kind of modern looking shield. And then there was one that looked quite imperial type shield, kind of 40k style. And again, you choose your different bits that you want to make up your own mortar. Like, that's how this company works. So there's some awesome, there's kind of big autocannon guns that you can buy. So it'd be interesting to see people modding those into things.
Yeah, especially with the new crew weapons to make them look different. That's neat.
Yeah. I've basically got to somehow manufacture giving Tim Merrill the mortar because GCPS, that mortar would look fantastic. Although I suppose the play players have got eyes for it as well.
Yeah, that's right.
Does anybody else have a mortar?
There is another crew-served weapon. Oh, the Rebs have something, but I think it's just a missile launcher and things like that.
Might have to set up a little four-way challenge between Richard, James, Aaron, and Tim. Fight it out. And then last few sponsors, Frontier Wargaming already mentioned, Threats of Precision already mentioned. Again, different MDF. Why do I keep calling it MDMF? Odd. MDF terrain. And I've not received either yet, so I'm not sure exactly what I've got, but they will be all community prizes. Whatever I get from them will all go out to the community.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, you've got Europe covered pretty well with all these prizes.
And Mantic Games, they've finally agreed to sponsor it.
Mantic, yes. Well, you are a Pathfinder. They better help you out.
It took me 2 months, dude. 2 months!
Well, that's faster than most, I think, for them.
No, I know they've been... To be fair, I go to HQ every other Monday, and I know how busy they are, so I wasn't expecting next-day delivery type stuff. So that's all of the sponsors. Hopefully that's enough. I've obviously wanting to give them all out at some point. But then again, some of all of that has to be used for the tournament as well. So it's not that all of that will be going to league players. A bunch of that will be. So, for example, spot prizes. So kill the most or kill the least type prizes. And I'd love some suggestions from you guys and anyone Dead Zone fanatics. Kind of if you've got other suggestions for spot prizes, I'd love to hear them because I've run out of ideas. So I'll be doing that through the tournament as well. So whoever kills the most in the first game gets X, Y, and Z.
Well, everyone, you can leave comments in the section below. I know we've got some people who will be listening to this or watching this on YouTube, and they've always got good ideas. We have a lot of good fans with some interesting ideas. So please let us know, and we can help Ben out.
You can always email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com if you have any ideas also. That'd be the most surefire way for us to get them. And we'll pass them on to Ben.
Yeah, I was thinking of giving another prize for a bigger community prize for the person who put forward the best suggestion. But at this point, I think I'm running out of stuff, even with all of it.
Yeah.
Depending on, to be fair, I've got no idea what Mantic is sending me. So I've not actually, whereas I've kept all of the current sponsors quite separate. So GameMap.eu won't be mixed with other stuff. That is just them and Battle Zones to show that. And that's how I've won them over to supporting. War Games Tournaments are all their own stuff. Frontier War Games Thrissa are all community prizes. Anvil Industry are basically all spot prizes. Tiny Worlds Wargaming, spot prizes and ranking, again, they're one of the greyer areas as to what I'll use them for. But I've not baked in Mantic Games stuff at all. So maybe I could use those for a bigger community prize for the best suggestion. We'll see what I end up with.
Yep. Don't overextend unless you have the stuff for sure. But That's the best thing about being such a long league. You can always change things and add new stuff as you get more stuff in. And like I say, you seem to want to give most of it out again. You're not greedy like some of us would be.
What's the point in prizes if people don't get them?
Well, that you would get them. That's the thing.
Yes, but that would also make me an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, wait. Am I allowed to say that? Because I know America gets very prudish about things like that being broadcast.
Well, we tend to let most of it slide.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Before we have to step in with the beep.
Yeah, the language is not a problem. If you were to show us your nipples, then they might have a problem, though.
Really? Because on British TV, that's basically par for the course.
Well, yes, here as well. But
it's the U.S. They're getting prudish about that kind of thing. But yes, but you can have a gun.
Yeah.
Let's not get political here.
No. Moving on.
Yeah. I have a question. You got into Dead Zone by doing the Battle Scribe for Dead Zone after doing the Kings of War.
I've not done the War Battle Scribe files.
No, but you're in Kings of War. You did the Battle Scribe. You got into to Dead Zone.
Yep.
So you use Battle Scribe. Obviously, you know it inside and out.
Yep.
Could a Luddite like myself learn to use it?
Absolutely. The setting it up, maybe if you really don't know how to use a phone, it does try to help you, like guide you as to how to do it. But maybe the setup might be a little difficult. But as soon as it's on your phone and you can know how to open an app, it then becomes very easy. It's quite self-explanatory. You click plus to add a new list and then you select which. I'm having to do this off memory. Then you select which system you want. So it would be Kings of War or Dead Zone or Warpath or Warpath Firefight. You click on that. It'll then say which faction do you want to create a list for. And then obviously choose whichever faction. Always Forge Fathers, of course. Then you click that and it will just come up with a blank screen with four bars, which will be five leaders, troops, specialists, vehicles, and mercs. And you click on one and add what leader you want. And then you click, that will then come back up on the home screen. And then you click back to the home screen of your list and that leader will appear. Then you click on that leader and you can personalize that leader. So he will have options within him or her, Major Lauren, GCPS. And then you can add stuff to him or her, and then you click back and that will then be in your list. And then you click on troops and add whatever troops you want and add stuff to them. I think there's a Mantic blog post that I did about it when I first did the Warpath Firefight, which is the first lists that I did. I also did a little blog post about how to do it.
Okay, so you have confidence. If Ben believes in me, then I think maybe I can. I don't need Rob's negative energy. He's always casting dispersing glances. So maybe I'll give it a shot. Add to my repertoire.
I've only ever done it on the computer, and it's from the old version of Battlescribe to the new one. It's so much easier. Like it used to be, you'd have to find the file.
Battlescribe. Do it on your phone.
No, I have it on the computer, but.
I find the PC version, it may just be because I'm more used to the phone, because I just used it on the phone for ages. Because my main driver is a Chromebook Pixel, I couldn't use Battlescribe for quite a while. Now I can get Android, so it's fine. So I'd always just used it on my phone. Mm. So I find the PC one really quite confusing. The phone one guides you into how to do it all.
So if it's even easier than that, then yeah, Jack could actually do it then.
It's a lot easier on your phone than on the PC.
Yeah, it used to be on the PC, you'd have to actually find the file and you have to put it all manually. Now you could just search for it and it's right there and you just type in Dead Zone and it pops right up and you're like, okay, that's easy. So it's so much better now, even there. So if the phone's even easier, Jack, even you could do it.
Good, good.
Yeah, I think that, to be fair, is everything I've got on the league. I mean, there's the future of where it's going. And to be fair, there's something that hopefully people in Dead Zone Fanatics have seen is some of the fun some of the fun that it's actually generated with the players as well. So when I told them all to go and get supporters and said I'd give them prizes for supporters, they kind of, a few of them were posting up on Dead Zone Fanatics saying, you know, support me. And then people under other players were commenting on their posts on a hijack it. And then there was someone who tried to hijack a hijack. I think the plague, no, it was the enforcers hijacked the Asterians, and then the Rebs said down with the enforcers, support the Rebs. So they're all trying to hijack each other's supporters. We've already had one example of a player trying to get a supporter to stop liking somebody else so that it will decrease their supporter score. There's loads of stuff like that going on, which has been really good to see the players kind of get involved. But then little challenges as well. So, you know, on the Facebook chat that we have, there's always kind of banter going ahead, particularly as certain games are coming up, because a lot of the players have got history with each other as well. So those petty rivalries start to come through. So there's Tim Merrill, GCPS, and James Ramsden, Plague, chatting about their game that's coming up on Saturday, because there's a big gaming day happening on Saturday with Thor's Hammer Gaming Club, which is the club linked to the Pit Gaming Shop, and at the same place as the tournament will be. And I was saying I was looking forward to the outcome because it's GCPS versus Plague. It's kind of that classic humans versus Plague kind of fight out. So I was interested, and I mentioned something, I can't remember what it was, and then James came back with, I think you mean our game of Plague versus Plague, you haven't accepted their fate yet. So then I, after a bit of banter going backwards and forwards after that, I challenged James to raise four or more of Tim's troops as zombies, because he takes the general. So I wanted him to raise loads of zombies as like a zombie apocalypse. And then Tim went, well, what can I do? What's my challenge? So I went, well, okay, you've got to try and stop the spread of disease by killing the general and any raised zombies, which I think is just a nice little narrative behind the game. And now they're fighting it out on Saturday. And originally I'd said, whoever completes that, I'll mention personally on the podcast. But then obviously, due to our timescales, I've had to do it before the game's actually taken place. So I've mentioned them both.
Well, you can let us know who the winner, and our next podcast will mention it.
Fantastic! I'll let them know. To be fair, I'm going to make them all listen to this. So,
more importantly, I am very cheap. I'm willing to be a supporter to anyone. I will talk trash. I have a platform. You'll be surprised for how little I will use my position for banter. For trash talk, I will do what needs to be done in order to make you the most supported player in that league. I'm just saying.
So you're saying you're for sale to the highest bidder? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it goes in tiers, of course. Like at some point, I'll record a podcast shirtless with your team colors painted on my body.
Oh God!
I'm not above hooliganism either. If really, depending how loose your purse strings are, I'm just throwing that out there.
We've already had a few people claim that other people have bought likes, and then I've said, "Well, I didn't put any rules against that, and it's Dead Zone. Crack on." So I've already given the green light on bribing. So you know, you may as well see some income, additional income.
Excellent.
Maybe you could link Patreon into it.
That's right. No, this is all on Jack. I don't want to be associated with this.
But yeah, so there's, to be fair, I think it was Matt Ramsden got in touch directly with Ronnie Renton and got him to like his page. There was Matt Mountain was getting the Pathfinders to like his page. There's Matt Ramsden's got his entire family liking his page. So yeah, Matt Ramsden's at the top at the moment, but there's three or four that are in fairly close contention at the top. There may be another burst of activity because this is going out on Monday, right?
Yep.
Because, well, today, as in when this comes out, I'm going to announce that the next round of supporter prizes is not going to be on the total number, but on the increase that they get. So the person who increases their supporter prize by the most. So we may see some activity
And we'll put the links to all the things in this in the show notes. So if you want to support a specific person or a specific team, get in there. Go for the underdogs. Get them up there.
Yeah, I thought it would be fun. And to be fair, it has turned out to be better than I'd imagined.
Yeah, it's cool. See, that's the kind of stuff that makes it interesting for everyone, not just the people playing in the league. So that makes it a lot more interactive, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. I think the last thing I wanted to mention on the league was the future. So in the back of my mind, because I was chatting to Matt Mountain, the other Pathfinder, a while ago about it, is Warpath and Warpath Firefight. Obviously, the other game kind of got in the... stole the limelight on kind of larger skirmish sci-fi games. So Warpath and Warpath Firefight haven't had the airtime that I believe they deserve, because I mean the rules and the rule set is fantastic for both of them, considerably better than certain other games, I believe. But the community isn't there, and so part of the escalation element is expressly to get people to 300 points in Dead Zone so that they're perfectly suited to immediately go into Firefight. So Matt Mountain and I are already cooking some stuff up to hit Warpath Firefight hard and then use that to build up to Warpath. So then we will hopefully have at least 14 Warpath players, and importantly, in close proximity, all based around a gaming store that sells Mantic products and a gaming club that is very supportive of Mantic games.
Yeah, that's the way to go. And I'm sure once you do that, our friends over at Third Sphere would like to have a chat about that, because they're all about... the Firefight and Warpath. They'd like to promote that stuff. So that'll be next year, you think? Next summer?
Yeah, we're thinking Firefight 2018, Warpath 2019. Our plans go well into the future.
Perfect.
I'm a project manager.
Yeah, you have to plan ahead.
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. We can't wait to see where it goes. And so far, it's been pretty amazing. Like, this is a first, I think, that to have such a well-organized and well-expanded upon... league. We've had a few leagues, but this one's not just for the people playing it, which I think is great. And
well, I'm glad you guys like it.
Yeah, that's why we're excited to talk to you about it, because we hope more people do things like this, and hopefully they can, if they are on Facebook, contact you and ask how you get started in doing it in their own area, because you're doing it such a perfect way that it's a template for what everybody else should be doing. But I think that wraps it up, I think. Is there anything else? I think we covered everything.
I think we've covered everything.
And if there's anything that comes up, we'll have you on again to update on the league and how everything's going. Maybe halfway point, we'll get you back on.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you could do a little league chatter, just a two-minute, just to say that we still exist.
That's right.
In each of your podcasts. Because, I mean, you've got the link to the league, so you know who's winning and who's losing and what factions are doing well. It'd be really appreciated if you could just kind of keep that community, because I'm trying to get the community involved. Obviously, you're a very good way of doing that, and I really appreciate you bringing me on.
Yeah, no problem. We appreciate what you're doing, and we'll definitely keep track of what's going on, because this is very cool.
That's fantastic.
And until next time, I've been Rob.
And I'm Jack.
Wait, do I say it?
Sure.
I'm Ben.
And this has been Dead Zone.
Get in there.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get in. You got to jump in. But this has been 77.5. We'll be back for the team building exercise soon. And then it'll be Christmas time. It's coming up quick. So have fun. Until then, go check out all the links to the league here and support your favorite faction or player or both. And thank you and good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dead Zone Podcast. I have been your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen. Visit the website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. Email your hosts at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Dead Zone Podcast. The Dead Zone Podcast is a production of Vinland Old Time Radio Productions.